Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
What's going on? This is Xavier Woods, a.k.a. Austin Creed.
I said give me a hell yeah!
Hey, this is Zeta Zane.
Hey, everyone. This is Jeff Cobb.
Hello, WWE Universe in the Philippines. This is Charlotte.
Talent is not sexually transmitted.
Hey, this is TJP, the Phil-Am Flash, and you are listening to Stan, Ro, Chino, and Camos on the Wrestling Podcast.
You are listening to the longest-running weekly episodic Filipino wrestling podcast. This is the Wrestling Podcast. Stan C. and Ro Moran, the two OGs of the podcast, recording this week's episode, or at least our first episode of the week. No Raf Camus, no Chino Liao. Camus has to be called away by the real world again.
It's a curse, I think. But I don't know. Pray for Camus.
Yes, please. Pray for Camus.
And Chino Liao... Our good friend Edsa is celebrating his birthday. He's celebrating his birthday today, not with us, but with the cool pals. At the time of recording, they are doing their live show, their first ever live show in the Fourth Strip.
Yeah, so may crossover episode na nangyayari ngayon.
Yeah, so I guess that's like the first, hindi naman first, because we've had like Ron on of the Hustle Share podcast, right? So a lot of crossovers happening, more to come, hopefully.
Yeah, we're also gearing up for a lot of things here on the podcast. We're actually turning 6 this year.
Hey.
Can you believe it? 6 years running.
Jesus Christ. But the better half of a decade. I can't believe it's happening. WrestleMania 30 was 6 years ago.
Yeah, that was 6 years ago. The Daniel Bryan Yes Movement thing happened 6 years ago. So we're planning something big. I think we can announce
now.
We're doing a big live show to celebrate the 6th anniversary of the Wrestling Podcast. And like it was last time, open invite to everybody.
We just don't know where it is going to be. We're finalizing the date. For sure, but it's going to happen and you're all invited and we're going to have a good time.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, here's another reason for you to have a good time, and that is through our friends from PayMaya. See, with PayMaya, every payment through PayMaya, may balik siya. So may balik na convenience, may balik na rebates and discounts. At higit sa lahat, may good karma ka pang makukuha sa PayMaya.
Absolutely, absolutely.
That's the best part of it, because when you use our promo code dito sa Wrestling Podcast, you get 50 pesos balik bayad and we get 50 pesos
That's
balik
true.
Bayad.
50 pesos goes a long way, guys. And maraming balik bayad na makukuha when you start using PayMaya.
Right, so saan ka ba nakakita ng payment app na bawat bayad mo merong sinusukli sa'yo, diba?
Yep.
Sa PayMaya, mas malayo talaga yung malilipad ng pera mo. So here's what we're gonna do. We're gonna give you one half of our PayMaya code here at this part of the podcast. And you have to listen in, because later on in the episode, we'll give you the other half of that code.
Absolutely.
So for this week, the first half of our code is WW. As in wrestling. Uh-huh. So WW.
Just those two letters is the first half. So stay tuned. Later on, we'll give out the second half. You don't want to miss it.
Yep. All right. So now, this week was actually a very big week in wrestling. But I mean, get up.
Yeah. As we predicted last week, last Thursday or last Friday for you guys. So yeah, a lot of things happened. I guess we got to start from the very start. Before we get onto the good stuff.
Yeah.
Right?
So, ito nangyari. What can we do? Oldberg is your Universal Champion.
Yeah. And, wow. I mean, like, just wow. I mean, I'm not going to say that I saw it coming. I'm just going to say that we all knew it was likely to happen, because as we talked about last week, there were rumors that this might happen, as they were probably going to change what was the original plan for WrestleMania this year.
Yeah, the original plan was Roman Reigns versus Bray Wyatt. So obviously that's no longer happening as of SmackDown this week. It looks like Roman Reigns versus Goldberg and Bray Wyatt versus John Cena.
Yep. And as we saw on SmackDown, that is exactly what was laid out. Yep. Roman Reigns said he was next. Bray Wyatt, the Fiend, came out to point to the WrestleMania sign in front of John Cena, and John Cena was all in. So I guess we've got our SmackDown main events.
Yeah, I find a lot of things problematic with these. Let's start with Goldberg. Mm. One, he's old.
Uh-huh.
Two, he can't even do the jackhammer anymore.
I'm not sure. I think it's because of Bray Wyatt's weight, I would say. I do believe that Goldberg was strong enough to lift a normal wrestler in the jackhammer. I just don't believe that he was strong enough maybe to lift someone who is a little on the heavier side in Bray Wyatt.
But let's talk about the bigger ramifications here, and that is the fact that WWE really doesn't want to create new stars.
It's more of, I don't know if it's not creating new stars. It's more of a refusal to let go of the old stars just to make a quick buck at WrestleMania. Like, parang... they are discounting what their audience wants. And just because WrestleMania maybe pulls a casual crowd, right? They think that, okay, they're probably here for the bigger stars of yesteryear.
No, right? I to some extent, I guess my punto, pero like when you think about it, how much of it is the influence of the Saudi government?
I don't know. Can I talk about that real quick? Now that you brought up the Saudi government and the fact that they obviously are the ones who want these shows on their turf, right?
Yeah.
I don't know if you saw the entire show.
No, I abstained from it.
Yeah, of course. I kind of had to because, it is a story pay-per-view, as we mentioned. But I wanted to see how it plays out and how these things actually played out. And for some reason... this show in particular, I don't know if it was really true for the other shows, but it wasn't as well received by the Saudi audience. And to think that a lot of these guys are fans, I would assume, because they've packed the arena, they cheer for some of the right people there, but a lot of the things didn't go over at all with the Saudi crowd.
I don't know. Yung sa akin is, I think na yung hinahabol nilang casuals that you mentioned in regards to WrestleMania, I think it was very evident in the booking decision for the Saudi show. Diba? I mean, putting Goldberg there in the main event, having him beat Bray Wyatt, treat him like a chump, then take the Universal Championship, sobrang pang-casual talaga na booking decision yun, diba?
I don't know, but by this time, it's been what? Three years? Getting into 3 years that the WWE has been holding shows in Saudi Arabia.
I think this is like the fourth or fifth show, yeah.
Yeah, and you would think by now, the people who are going to this in Riyadh, right, would probably be keeping up with WWE programming. And because they get these shows, right? I mean, the government has asked WWE to come and perform in their territory.
At least twice a year, yeah.
Yeah, diba? So you would assume that somehow the regulars, the young talent, the people who are actually showing up every day, every week, are getting over somehow with the people who are actually watching this. And parang, shouldn't there be an audience there to justify... both sides coming over, both sides agreeing to put up these shows?
I don't know.
It's so weird to me. Parang, do you guys actually want this to happen in your country? Because I don't see anyone really popping except for guys like Goldberg, Undertaker, and Mansoor.
The way I see it based on yung kwento mo, kasi I didn't watch the show, right? There's a sense of frustration coming from you because I guess you're coming from the point of view of a fan who lives in a country that WWE doesn't even visit every year. And yet these guys get WWE live twice a year.
No, it's not even
grand spectacle shows that are part of canon.
It's not even the fact that we don't get it every year. It's more of the necessity of having to go to Saudi Arabia, having to shoehorn these shows into the pay-per-view calendar. And this time around, making it an actual part of the, storylines month to month. But now, I question why they actually have to make the hassle of going there, other than just for the money, right? Parang this could have been in U.S. soil and have a better reaction, have better crowd noise. Because a lot of people busted their butts. Like, for example, The New Day and Miz and Morrison, right? They were pretty good. And they couldn't get much of a reaction at all.
Yeah, I hope that a show like this happens again with the same type of reaction. But the future shows will be non-canon house shows now.
Yeah, I guess.
I mean, I get why they're doing it. Like, they're making these shows canon shows para ma-force ka to watch, diba? Oh, yeah, will the title change hands here?
That's probably it, yeah.
Yeah, so I don't know. I'm obviously hoping for the worst because I'm very cynical about these because of my views towards these, how the government and WWE's relationship with them. But yeah, WWE Blood Money, really just a bunch of bad decisions for the most part. But yeah, going back to Goldberg, it's really frustrating watching WWE. Now, they've managed to make SmackDown unwatchable.
Yeah, I mean, Jesus. It's really bad when you have to pin your brand's hopes on a 53-year-old, can we say has been? I don't want to sound too mean, but you know, Goldberg is old.
A 53-year-old wrestler who's way past his prime.
Yeah,
I guess that's the diplomatic way of putting it.
Yeah, I suppose. But yeah, some people are defending it as, you know, best for business, you know, drawing in the casual crowd. But at some point, you have to take a gamble on your regulars. Right, I mean, this is what we say every year. Every time someone old comes back,
no, I think we've been saying it since we started recording the podcast.
Yeah, I guess
this is a six-year-old rant that we've recorded, and dating back to our years writing about this thing, it's a decade-old rant.
Yeah, so sad, isn't it? When was that? Since The Rock was coming back, right?
Yeah, since The Rock came back, but at least si Rock parang okay pa yung
condition. Bata pa siya, yeah. No, it wasn't that great back when he came back in what, 2009, 2010.
Yeah, 2011. Yung ano, the
first one, his first return.
When his he first came match back for back, the Cena matches, yun okay na yung condition, yung conditioning niya noon, di ba? And I guess a lot of it also has to do with guys like Curtis Axel and I think Slater who trained with him.
Now, ring shape is really different than, you know, in shape.
Yeah, as what we're seeing with Goldberg. It's really just frustrating. I hate it because SmackDown is my favorite show. It is my show. It's always been my show. And
yeah, I agree.
The fact that I have basically skipped through every segment of the show, save for the promos, it hurts me as a fan. Raw is at a point right now where it is way more watchable than SmackDown.
Before we move on to Raw, I just want to, you know, make one last point about The Fiend, about Bray Wyatt. And I think it goes back, our disappointment goes back to the fact that he was even booked to win a Universal Championship, which he didn't really need in the first place.
No, that's absolutely right. When you're a demon, when you are so sick and twisted, anong use ng championship sayo? Diba?
I mean, that's probably why he, at the end, I don't know if you saw the end, the full segment of the main event, sa Saudi Mania, right? What happened there, if you just for those who didn't see, after he lost, he stood up.
Yeah.
And then, you know, did the magic trick of disappearing, you know, turn the lights off, disappear after.
Yeah.
So parang it signaled that he didn't really care for the championship that much.
Yeah.
So I guess that's kind of, you know, the demon being the demon who doesn't really need a title. Pero at the same time, there was still some luster that was lost. Because this guy had to lose to Goldberg.
Yeah, he was undefeated.
Yeah.
He was undefeated throughout his run and he had to lose to a 53-year-old Goldberg. Hindi lang yun. It also devalues your championship. Because when your champion says, "I don't care about it as much, okay lang natalo ako, peace out," it devalues it. Kahit sabihin mong demonyo pa yung champion mo dati, di ba?
Again, they did what they could to protect The Fiend, but you know, the end result is the end result.
I think that's really it's an outcome of having booked themselves in that corner. Mm.
They like, just
sobrang short-sighted yung decision to make The Fiend the champion in the first place.
They just really did what they could. I guess I applaud a little bit for that. But we're stuck with Goldberg and we're probably going to be stuck until WrestleMania because it's probably just a plot device for Roman Reigns to get the championship back.
Let's zoom out a bit here and talk about how fucked up it is that the Universal Championship's title history is littered with part-timers.
From
Goldberg to Brock to... Well, I wouldn't say The Fiend, but like sobrang checkered yung history niya. Like yung memorable champions talaga that really defended the title were Kevin Owens, Seth Rollins, and that's it. Because Roman had to abdicate it, diba, when he had cancer.
Yeah. It doesn't help that the Universal Championship is a young title, right? So, yeah, yun.
Yeah, really disappointing all around. I'm ready to move on from SmackDown. Okay. Oh, wait, one last. Bray and Cena.
How do we feel about this?
No, I'm okay with it because I know, and I better get Cena losing because, you know, Cena really owes Bray a win from all those 31. Years ago.
So. From 31, yeah.
So
I'm sorry, 30.
I'm good with it. No, was it 30?
Yeah, 31.
All right. I'm good with this because this is probably like the consolation prize, even though we shouldn't have, we're not supposed to have a consolation prize for The Fiend anyway to begin with. I mean, how else would, you know, Cena spin this? Would he force himself to get a win? Would he force creative to give him a win? So no way. I mean, like, at this point, this guy is full on rock mode at the moment.
Can I be purse markety here and nitpick on certain things? Like,
hey,
number one,
go.
Why didn't The Fiend attack John Cena? Every other wrestler na kinalaban ni Bray Wyatt, The Fiend viciously attacked. Mm. What makes Cena special? Now, all he does is look at Cena and then point at the sign. Number two, si Cena naman, like, alam yun eh, attack na siya eh. Di man lang siya nag-preemptive strike. And then, he just tipped his baseball hat like it was a cowboy hat. Number three, who gave these two assholes the power to book this match? Kailan sila naging authority
figure? No, it's fine. It's a challenge, you know. You don't need the power of authority to make yourself a match when you challenge one another and both of you agree anyway. That part is enough. I mean, you know, people challenge each other all the time in wrestling.
Yeah, but it's very Batista at this point. Now, give me what I want.
And
so they get what they want.
If I mean, like, the only way this would have been problematic is if one of them didn't consent, and then somehow the other forces the match to happen. I mean, these guys agreed to their match. Matanda na sila. They are
in Cena's case, literally, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So
it's fine. Out of character lang talaga for The Fiend to not even go for the jugular kay Cena.
Yeah,
like, he was there. He was there ripe for the picking.
Yeah, it wasn't really, you know, I guess it was pretty lazy when you know The Fiend's history, the Bray Wyatt's history of, you know, coming up with hardworking Firefly Funhouse videos for all that.
Yeah, tsaka may modus ng Fiend eh.
Yeah.
Parang hindi man lang niya in-execute, di ba? Nakakabwisit siya. Okay, let's talk about Raw because we are apparently building towards Elimination Chamber.
Oh yeah, it's this Sunday.
Yeah, diba? Tama, diba? Like, I heard it correctly.
Yes, it is this Sunday.
Yeah, and Elimination Chamber is also the last pay-per-view before WrestleMania.
Yes, sir.
So this is very weird. Now we're just coming off of WWE Blood Money, and then now there's the Elimination Chamber.
Yeah, they... I don't know. I don't know if they really did this right, but technically it's like a month left till WrestleMania. We got like 4 weeks left. So, sakto lang that the pay-per-view is this Sunday because it would have, you know, that much time to build up to WrestleMania.
Right. So, okay. We have Elimination Chamber on Monday, Manila time. And we're gonna be predicting it now kasi tapos na rin yung Royal. Mm. And we don't have time to wait for SmackDown.
Sure.
Right? But before we get to our predictions, we have to talk about Raw.
Mm-hmm.
Because Raw this week was definitely more watchable, definitely more enjoyable, and definitely has more talking points.
Oh, absolutely.
At least on a positive level. So it started off very strong with the Drew McIntyre and Brock Lesnar segment.
Mm-hmm.
Galing. Kasi dun palang kita mo na how hot the crowd is for Drew.
Yeah, this crowd was pretty hot.
Yeah. Well, it's Brooklyn, number one. Uh-oh. And having been there in that arena myself, like, mas na iintindihan ko na yung ano, yung sinasabi nila na the Brooklyn crowd is a crazy crowd. Iba yung saltik eh. These guys will, they're very picky with what they pop for, but when they pop, they pop.
This is, I mean, New York is a wrestling town, so.
Yeah. So you have that. I love what I'm seeing out of Drew McIntyre. Like,
yeah.
If you... okay, so medyo fresh sa akin yung Batista-Triple H feud because I watched yung Evolution episode of Ruthless Aggression
right.
on the network.
Yeah, yeah.
So the way that the crowd popped for Batista in 2005 during the build to Mania, that's what I'm getting from Drew McIntyre. Like, him hitting Brock with a Claymore, raising the championship. Like, this crowd is totally eating it up. And I think we're all ready for a Drew McIntyre win.
Big guy hits hard. How can you not like this guy? Diba? How can you not like Drew McIntyre? He's believable. He is intense. And I think they're not ruining him with any script. I think Raw so far lately has been pretty unscripted.
Yeah, yeah. I think that the company is getting behind Drew.
I would hope so, diba?
I mean, we said the same thing about what Roman, diba, a few years ago, and that didn't happen.
Yeah, because they were micromanaging Roman back then.
They're just really booking Drew well right now.
Yeah.
We're not being oversaturated. Like, we get his one segment, then nire-replay na lang nila. Mm. Like, hindi yung parang may backstage pa siya, meron pa siyang interaction with whatever. Like, okay na yun. He's in his own little corner with Brock.
Mm.
And that's it. Let's leave them there.
Well, I mean, it's not like when you do Brock anyway. I mean, like, he's not showing up every week. He's not going to show up multiple times a night. So, when you're paired with Brock, you're probably just going to do the one thing every night.
I guess when you contrast that with the build for Kofi from last year. Now, Kofi was in like two or three segments a show. He was having to fuck with Vince McMahon, then all the other heels, then Daniel Bryan and Rowan. We're not getting that from Drew. And I think it's actually refreshing.
Mm-mm.
So I like what I'm seeing.
I guess Kofi and Drew aren't the same person. I mean, Kofi is more of an underdog. And
talking about arc nila.
Yeah. You definitely want to see Kofi fight from underneath. Because that thing is inspiring. Whereas you can believe probably that Drew and Brock are on the same level. So, you know, one and done is good for them.
You know what I'm getting from the Drew McIntyre arc right now is this is the noble warrior NXT wishes it could have.
Mm.
The problem with face McIntyre from NXT was that everyone else in NXT was small.
Mm-mm.
So McIntyre couldn't really like dominate over them and be the babyface when everyone was tinier than him.
Yeah.
But now that he's up against Brock, na at least on his on the same physical size, diba? It's comparable. Na parang okay, it's a fair fight. I can see him as the noble warrior. Na yeah, he's the good guy. I will root for him.
Mm.
Parang weird kasi na yeah, you know Bobby Roode was a cheater, pero malit din si Bobby Roode. Eh. Mm. So yun, I think this is what's working for Drew, and I guess it all just worked out since he got moved from NXT to Raw.
Okay.
Now, segueing off of that, we have to talk about the closing of Raw, closing segment. One of the better closing segments in a long, long time, and what I will say is the best Randy Orton promo. Full stop.
Damn.
All right. Yeah. So Randy Orton basically explained why he went after Edge.
And it was not for any reason that you probably thought of before seeing this.
Yeah.
I mean, like, wow. I mean, who could have? Only a psychopath, only a true weirdo could have gone to such great lengths to justify to justify doing what he did.
Yeah, feeling good. This is something that Pritchard or Heyman wrote. Yun dalawa lang eh.
No, it can't be Pritchard because Pritchard's doing SmackDown and SmackDown is bad. So
oh, is he?
Yeah.
Okay, kalak si Pritchard's on
Raw. Everyone is blaming Pritchard for SmackDown.
Oh, shit. Okay, yeah. Cool. So yeah, this is straight out of the sick and twisted mind of Paul Heyman. I can tell. And I love yung psychology of Randy Orton that he has to come out there and tell Beth Phoenix to her face why he just really laid into Edge, her husband. And he says, it comes from a place of love. Like, I am returning him back to you. I'm keeping him away from the business so your children can have a father, so you can have a husband. I'm doing this for you. Parang selfless pa siya.
By nearly killing him.
Yeah. And all the vets in the business, people like Jericho, will say that the best heels are the ones who really believe they're right.
Mm.
And this is a villain who really believes he's right.
And if you're, you know, of any lesser mental stature, you could buy into what he's saying.
Yeah. So I was watching this afternoon, right? And I was actually, like, I was smiling. Parang, fuck, ang galing ng heel work niya. And then there was a part of me, the rational or moral side, was like, he's really fucked up.
Mm.
Like, that's not love. So the way I would liken the Randy Orton character we're getting right now is, ano yung mga pumapatay ng idols nila? Kasi if I can't have you, no one can.
Yeah.
Christina Grimmie, the singer from The Voice, comes to mind.
Yeah.
Yung, I can't have you, so no one else can, so I'll kill you. That's basically Randy Orton.
Mm. Yeah, not in those exact reasons, but it is pretty much similar to that. It is pretty fucked up that only he could come up with such a reason, by saying he was protecting Edge from himself, from his addiction to the high that, you know, performing in front of all these people. Hey, sounds familiar.
Yeah.
Gets, and by nearly killing him.
Yeah, and not just that. He vilified Beth because Beth was an enabler. And he vilified the fans all in one fell swoop. Sobrang galing, like layers upon layers of psychology and just being fucked up.
Mm-hmm.
I don't remember the last heel promo na sobrang na-affect ako that way. Now I was like, fuck, that was masterful.
Me neither. You know, because heels tend to be either generic or
simplistic.
Yeah, simplistic because they're overly scripted. I think this one was definitely unscripted. There were definitely bullet points because he was shooting straight, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And he was displaying his genius out there.
Yeah, and yeah. Sorry to cut you off.
No, go.
I guess nuance. It's an evolution of the Randy Orton character. Because he's always been crazy since what, 2008, 2009? Mm,
this is the IED Orton.
Yeah. Mm. And this is him taking things one step further. Na he acts like a sane person and he's able to justify his actions. It's just that everything is so fucked up. It's so morally wrong. Mm. Like, the end definitely does not justify the means. Yep. Like, it's still very much in line with his branding. Mm. And yet, he comes now from his own version of the moral high ground. So, I guess we've seen Orton on our TVs for so long na we never thought that he could still evolve like this.
I think when you're given that much creative freedom, you definitely can. I mean, I don't think we've had a show, a WWE show like this, you know, discounting NXT in quite a while.
Tapos si Orton yung nagdadali. Ang galing din na, you know, Edge hasn't appeared since Orton took him out, right?
As he should,
yeah. Mm. To really sell yung effects ng attack. Mm. And Orton has managed to keep the feud fresh, to keep the story relevant, to keep us all hooked and invested in it. Sobrang galing. It's really a testament to Randy Orton, the performer, that he's able to do all of this.
Yeah. It doesn't... I mean, it takes a lot of skill and creativity to pull off the promo Randy did.
Yeah. Remember in 2006 when he was healing it up against Rey Mysterio and he pulled the Eddie's in Hell promo. Now, in retrospect, was such a cheap heel thing to say, diba? Now, he doesn't need that. Because he's got this level of nuance that he can draw from. And it really is the mark of a performer who's really just maxed out his potential.
I mean, whoever wrote this, I mean, whoever came up with this promo, with this angle, with this reasoning, they're the ones who have nuance. I don't know if it's Orton, I don't know if it's Heyman. But someone in the back is doing a good job.
Yeah. I would give it to everybody involved. Because if Orton flubbed the promo, diba?
Yeah, exactly.
Sobrang galing na pagkakasulat, wala rin. Mm-hmm. Everybody did a great job. I'm going to put it right now as my front runner for promo of the year.
Okay. Yeah. That's not a tall order at all.
Yeah. Okay. Anything else from Raw this week that you want to get into?
Not at the moment. You know, Street Profits won the tag team championships, which is a surprise. But hey, everyone in Brooklyn managed to justify that as well. Mm-hmm. People love the Street Profits, and you know, Montez Ford is doing a lot of work. It's clear that the company's getting behind Ford. I mean, Dawkins is also doing a good job, but I think Ford is really the one carrying the entire team. To this push.
Like you can tell he's the Shawn Michaels on that team.
I'm sorry, Doc, but it is what it is.
Yeah. Surprising lang na they had to wait for Raw to make that title change happen. Yeah.
Well, I think this is what I think Chino or Camus mentioned last week when we were predicting Super Showdown, that if you did a big title change on that show, you know, it probably would not have had that reaction as if it was on the U.S. and in the U.S., you know, in the U.S. crowd.
I'm just happy for the Street Profits, but, you know, selfishly, I wish na Rollins and Murphy would have held that title longer. Because now that they're no longer champions, parang wala na sila pinanghahawakan over the rest of the Raw roster.
No, but I do think that the way they lost was pretty logical, was pretty natural. It helped build the simmering feud between Rollins and Kevin Owens, and it all made sense because everyone was in the same storyline together.
Medyo sad lang kasi when Mania comes around and it looks like it will be Rollins versus Owens one-on-one, it'd be chwadu up lang sina Murphy and AOP when the purpose of this faction with Rollins is to elevate all three of them.
I do think that... No. On that point, I do think that this was a way to shift the tag team championships from Rollins and Murphy to AOP. So now that they're not champions and now that the focus is on Seth versus Owens, it definitely leaves AOP open to challenge for the tag team championships.
Ah, thank you. Yeah, I didn't see that way.
I don't know what Murphy's going to do. Siguro yung pinaka-chowado rap sa kanila ng lahat.
Yeah. I mean, he doesn't even get to talk.
Yeah. Well, you know, he's Australian, so that explains it.
Dude, malino accent niya.
Yeah, I know.
I mean, like, okay, so, yeah.
I mean you watch 205 Live, that's, I don't know.
No, I watch Australian television, yeah. And there are other Australians I watch on TV whose accents are thicker than Buddy Murphy's,
uh-huh.
Right? But I'm just going to say that the Australian with the clearest accent na
what do you mean
heard,
clearest accent?
As in, yung pinaka hindi siya tunog, yung parang makapal na accent.
Ah, okay.
Is Robbie Eagles.
That's true.
Mm. It's like barely there. Like, yeah. There is a hint of an accent, pero I can understand everything he says.
That's true.
Mm. Yeah.
It's so not terribly thick.
Yes, yes. There, that's what I was trying to say. All right, before we get to our Elimination Chamber predictions, we got to tell you that we've got our PayMaya app, or our PayMaya code, rather.
Absolutely.
So we
second
told
half.
You, yeah, the second half of the code. So sabi namin kanina, the first half was WW, and the second half is PayMaya.
Hey.
So the full code is WWPayMaya. Once again, that is WWPayMaya. And here's everything you need to know if you want to check out this code.
All right. So if you use that code, if you use WWPayMaya, when you register for your PayMaya account, you can avail of all the different balikbayad promos PayMaya has to offer. So when you buy, when you shop online, when you shop in stores, you can use the QR scanner feature on the app, or you can it's what we call scan to pay, and then you can also use your PayMaya account to purchase stuff online. You can also use the PayMaya app to pay your bills, to send money to different bank accounts or to different PayMaya accounts, buy load, buy gaming pins, and you know, all these different things that you can do when you go cashless with PayMaya, and you get balikbayad. That means money back to you.
Yes, tapos yung balikbayad, meron pang random percentages yan.
Oh, yeah,
minsan 1%, minsan 10%, minsan 100%.
Yeah. People, I've seen people post stories of them getting balikbayad of up to 800 pesos.
That's a lot.
Yeah, that's no joke.
And you can also get double balikbayad every weekend.
Yeah.
So yun pa, that's another potential reward. And one more promo that PayMaya is giving out for the month of March is that you can pay a bill every Saturday and Sunday, mm-hmm. and get 100 pesos per unique biller, up to 3 billers for the promo period.
Yeah, so imagine that. You get up to 300 back when you pay 3 different bills.
So a lot of mga promos that PayMaya is putting out for the month of March, you can actually check it out over at paymaya.com/deals.
Right.
So once again, our promo code is WWPayMaya. Time for us to predict Elimination Chamber, which again takes place Monday morning Manila time. All right. So far, there are 6 matches announced as of recording. We're recording this on Tuesday night, so anything and everything can change up until Monday.
And you know, there is always a chance of impromptu matches happening in the card because
yeah.
it happened in Super Showdown. It's probably going to happen here.
Yeah.
With only 6 matches, no way there's going to be more.
Mm-hmm. Okay, let's start off with the fact that none of the world titles are up for grabs because, spoiler alert, both your champions are old and are part-timers.
Sad.
Now that that's out of the way, let's go to the United States Championship match, Andrade versus Humberto Carrillo.
Yeah, I mean, this match has been it's Angel Garza versus Humberto.
Yeah, but we've had Andrade and Humberto for a while now,
yeah.
before the suspension.
Yeah, I don't know what's going to happen here, but
I think Humberto wins.
No way, because Humberto's been losing so much.
Yeah, which is why I think he's going to win.
What? No, I don't think so. I mean, something's going to happen. Some shenanigans are going to go down. I think Andrade keeps it. They're pretty high on him for some reason, despite the wellness policy violation
and a lack of English.
Yeah, well, he's getting better. I mean, have you read about his interviews?
No, hindi pa.
They are in considerably much better English than before.
If you rank these guys in English fluency, Garza pa rin,
diba? Yeah, Garza pa rin. For some reason, he speaks way better than everyone in his family.
So is it Garza, then Humberto, then Andrade?
No, I would say Garza, Andrade, and then Humberto.
And then above all of them is King Cuerno.
Yeah.
What's his name sa WWE?
Something Bali. Jorge Bali.
There, thank you.
Jorge Bali.
Yeah. So he was also known as El Hijo del Fantasma in Mexico before he jumped over to the PC.
Yep.
All right. Next up, you've got a no DQ match between Aleister Black and AJ Styles.
Do you think the Undertaker thing is still happening?
Because yes, I do.
What is this then for?
It's for the Undertaker to fuck with AJ.
So, what?
I think the
AJ
Undertaker
loses?
Makes
what?
His presence felt. AJ loses, yeah. Kasi medyo weird eh kung talo pa rin si Aleister Black.
Yeah, Protect Black, right?
Yeah, I mean, he got a loss on Raw this week.
Yeah, yeah.
But it was after he had to beat Gallows and Anderson.
Right.
So yeah, I think the Undertaker shows up and his gong rings or whatever, AJ gets distracted.
What if Aleister Black summons the Undertaker because, you know, he is a Satanist.
Ano yung magtututu siya kay Undertaker? Uy, yung ginagago ni AJ, teacher niya si Undertaker, ganun ba?
Yes, he has the urn for some reason. I don't know.
Wait, I think Aleister Black wins here. AJ has nothing really to gain by winning.
Yeah, that's true. Sige.
Yeah. Next, you've got the rematch for the Raw Tag Team titles between the Street Profits and then Rollins and Murphy. I think the Street Profits retain.
Yeah, there's no way that the Street Profits lose. I mean, they just won. And for sure, Kevin Owens is going to make his presence felt here as well.
Yeah. Then again, we have history then of, you know, of guys just winning the title, then losing it at the very next pay-per-view, like Tozawa from the early days of the Cruiserweight title. Next, you have a 3-on-1 handicap match for the Intercontinental Championship. It's Braun Strowman defending against the Men of Honor, Shinsuke Nakamura, Cesaro, and Sami Zayn.
Yeah, this is Strowman's to win.
Talaga?
Oh.
I think Zayn wins it.
Wait, if they win, who wins it?
I think the guy who gets the pin.
Huh? Is that what he said?
No, hindi ko alam. Hindi ko alam. But like, I'm gonna assume, I'm gonna make my own rules here because they're not making any rules.
Okay.
And they're probably gonna lay this out on the SmackDown before the Chamber. I mean, they better. Mm. They better. I think it's whoever gets the pin gets the title.
Because if we're still possibly getting Nakamura versus Zayn, maybe?
I mean, based on yung leaked cards, parang hindi. Parang si Strowman pa rin yung champion heading into Mania.
Okay, so why does it matter then?
Because I don't trust the leaked cards.
All right.
And I want Sami Zayn to win the title.
Okay. I think it's Braun.
Okay. All right, you have two chamber matches, which, again, aren't for the world titles because, you know, old part-time champions.
But okay lang naman. I don't like them forcing the world championships in the chamber if it doesn't make sense. Like,
The SmackDown tags are forced in the chamber. This does not make sense to me. Like, how the fuck does Heavy Machinery have a title shot?
That's true.
Diba? Why do they deserve it? What the fuck did Lucha House Party do to deserve this?
That's true.
Mm-hmm. Ziggler Rude, masisikmura ako pa eh. The Usos, masisikmura ako pa. New Day, definitely, because they just lost.
Yeah.
Yeah, but the other two teams.
There are no qualifying matches, so yeah.
Yeah, that's also because your tag team division is shit. Mm. They've been booked shittily. Mm. So I think Miz and Morrison retain.
There's no way Miz and Morrison lose here.
Mm-hmm. And finally, you have your Raw Women's Championship contender Elimination Chamber match. Mm. Shayna Baszler.
Yeah, Shayna, for sure.
So, in conclusion, medyo walang kwenta tong Elimination Chamber this year?
Wala siyang kwenta, but I mean, I would say that they did an okay job of, you know, making the matches make sense. I mean, you know, for the most part, right? I mean, all of this is, if it didn't happen on Super Showdown, you knew it was going to happen here.
No, more than ever, sobrang halata na stopgap pay-per-view to heading into Mania.
Oh, like, yeah, yeah.
It's fast lane, essentially. Like, you need this to happen to set up what's happening at Mania.
But I would say,
and that's it.
You know, it's weird because Super Showdown happened last week, and this is going to happen this week.
Mm.
It's like two parts of a really long pay-per-view.
Okay.
So it still kind of makes sense to me that the matches that didn't happen on Super Showdown would happen here.
Mm.
So it's not as bad that it's a stopgap to me.
Yeah, it really just feels like a stopgap to me. I'm probably going to be fast-forwarding through a lot of this as well, just because a lot of the conclusions are very foregone.
Yeah, but okay lang. What I would hope is that other things happen that would help build WrestleMania.
Yeah, that's the hope naman, diba? We just want to make sure that WrestleMania makes sense, even though we know it's going to be a bloated card once again.
As if we trust the leaked card, there are 17 matches.
Yeah, parang last year.
Yeah.
You know, etong sasabihin ko, if you've survived being at Mania live through a 17-card event,
lahat ng
papasin mo sa mundo, kaya mo na. All right, let's go to AEW now. Let's jump ship.
Mm-hmm.
Let's follow Matt Hardy and talk about AEW Revolution.
Yes, what a good show.
Yeah, yeah. Definitely a good haven't seen yung Hager versus Dustin, yun na lang, but I've seen everything else. Loved what I saw. My instant takeaways were, holy fuck, I care about the Young Bucks and Kenny Omega and Hangman Page now. And I ranted about this several weeks ago here on the podcast. Na sobrang for me is very masturbatory and everything. And yes, these tendencies are still there at the shows.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Very much there, but I can kind of forgive it now when I see matches like that tag team title match.
Definitely, and I mean it was just so good. I mean everything was satisfying. I don't know why, because I don't know. We're so used to disappointing WWE pay-per-views, and I guess. AEW really did a good job of making this one feel special. Because every now and then, na nga lang, eh, diba?
Yeah, so,
and they went
yun.
All out.
Hindi lang yun. It's also the storytelling. Because kahit na yung Pac versus Orange Cassidy, which was only announced days before the event.
Oh yeah, which we didn't even get a chance to preview because we didn't know it was going to happen.
Yeah, the crowd was so hot for it. I was hot for it. Sobrang galing. Because
wait, they're smart because they held the event in Chicago.
Okay. Kahit na hindi in Chicago, feeling ko magsasprak pa rin yung mga tao with Orange Cassidy's antics.
I am not so sure about that, you know? I mean, they sustain their energy for the whole night, but this is Chicago. I'm not so sure it would have flown the same way in any other town.
I would argue that they've actually built Orange Cassidy to the point na, he's a guy I want to watch.
If we're talking about Orange Cassidy specifically, then this guy's a genius. Because he figured out a way to make his regular offense feel even more special.
Yeah. Even yung the whole, this time he's gonna try. Like, nakakabobo siya. Huh. And like, technically, you're not supposed to cheer for a guy who's half-assing it. But he does it in such a cool and suave way na, yeah, I dig this guy. And he's so popular that people in the Philippines are cosplaying as him at PWR events.
Yeah, I mean, we see you. We see you guys. And I guess we approve. Because, you know, Orange Cassidy's cool.
I mean, don't put yourselves over at a PWR show. No, it's not your show.
I mean,
but it's a testament to how popular Orange Cassidy has become.
Hold on a minute. People are going to cosplay no matter what. It's not themselves putting themselves over. It's just,
well, yung ibang tao, like, they really commit to it. Like, mas kayfabe pa sila kaysa sa atin, okay? I mean, tipong meet and greet na hindi pa sila nagsasalita. Nakapose lang sila dun. Kulang na lang yung may tumatay, tas sa kabilang cubicle, nandun sila.
Yeah.
So, there. That's what I mean when I say, don't put yourselves over at our show. But yeah, Orange Cassidy is a fucking genius, man. Sobrang galing.
He is. And he is he has the skill to back it up, right? You don't expect a guy like that. I mean, coming as someone who hasn't seen his full body of work, I didn't do my homework on him. But, you know, it was the first time I really saw him wrestle.
I didn't know him before AEW.
Yeah. I mean, I did. I had heard word about him. People were talking about him. I didn't bother to look into it before he appeared on AEW. But, you know, as someone who has seen him really wrestle the first time, I was amazed. And I think it helped that it was the first time I was seeing him do that.
Yeah, he's a great character for sure. Like, he knows his character very well, and he knows what works and what probably doesn't.
Yeah.
But on the flip side, he did not do this alone. It takes two to tango, and it really shows how great of a performer Pac is. Mm. WWE really missed the boat on Pac as a performer at this level. So sayang, but at the same time, he's here in AEW, and he's got a different platform where he can really be that character he wants to be. So,
if he wants to be a bastard, let him be a bastard.
Yeah, he wants to be 206, let him be 206. All right, we also have to talk about the two main matches. So you had MJF and Cody, and then Jon Moxley winning the title from Chris Jericho.
Let's talk about the World Championship first, because I think it's well-deserved. Not the man overdue, but it came at the right time, I think.
Yeah, it came at the right time. Everybody was expecting it. Pero hindi rin siya yung parang inakasuya na result.
Yeah, yeah. The match itself was not all that. Because it's Jericho. He's at this age. He's good, but he's also pacing himself at this age.
Even Moxley.
Yeah, no. Moxley can go. As you can see from his NJPW matches. Whoever he's in the ring with in Japan, he can keep up with that pace. But Jericho, May formula is Jericho. I mean, you notice that he goes to the outside in the beginning of a match.
Yeah, yeah.
You probably noticed that by now, I'm sure.
Yep.
And he takes it slow when he gets back to the ring, right? And it was all really Moxley could do that he had to keep up with that pace and he couldn't really take it much faster.
Yeah, I also appreciated yung involvement ng Inner Circle.
Like, yeah, yeah.
You know, hindi rin siya yung parang, ah, fuck this again, right? Saktong doses pa lang.
Mm.
So we're not super tired of them yet and it just gets the right amount of heat.
It helps that the Inner Circle didn't interfere in each other's matches that much.
Yes, yeah. I think they figured it out. They figured out a way to remain involved in each other's stories without having to step on each other's toes.
Yeah, yeah.
So there. Really appreciate yung moment of Jon Moxley finally winning the championship. It's just that I was hoping for him to be that crazy heel. But you know na ano rin eh, at some point, because of how popular he is, he was gonna be that Stone Cold character.
Yeah, it's a good move then because Kenny wasn't doing much. They were downplaying Kenny for, you know, their own particular reasons, their own personal reasons. Cody wasn't at that level yet. I think he needs this MJF story to boost him into that top face spot. So all they really had left was Moxley, and Moxley was the right guy for this job.
Yeah, I don't mind having Moxley as your top face, and I guess if AEW's trying to be new age WCW, then I guess a Stone Cold Steve Austin type of character sort of makes sense.
Yeah, they need that kind of character, and I can't wait for all the potential matchups that is in store for Moxley.
All right, in the words of good old Bill Goldberg, who's next? Who's your next number one contender?
I think there is a Jericho rematch happening. I don't know. I don't know if it's WWE fan thinking, but there isn't a clear-cut next contender. Cody's still tied up with MJF.
I would like for there to be a tournament, kind of like how they had a tournament for in tag team titles, diba?
That's also pretty fair because you definitely don't have an obvious next contender, so you got to build one up for sure.
If I were to put my money on it, though, if it's not MJF, it's Pac.
Puede. Yeah, you're right. You mentioned MJF. That could be a good next contender. You know, a filler contender, if you will.
Yeah, after all, MJF did beat Cody.
Puede.
It was the second biggest match on the show.
Sure.
I would say it was actually the hotter feud than Moxley-Jericho.
It was.
Sobrang ganda rin ng storytelling. It's just that the match itself did not deliver on the level I hoped it would.
Maybe it was because they knew it wasn't ending yet. Mm-hmm. You know, they had to leave some in the tank for next time, for sure. I mean, it was only a regular match, diba?
Yeah, it was a regular match. Wardlow got involved. Brandy and Arn Anderson got involved. Yeah. Dustin and... sinong kalaban ba yung umuna kay Dustin? Because Dustin got involved, diba?
Yeah. Jake Hager? I don't know, not Jake Hager.
Someone.
Yeah. For sure, this storyline is begging for a bigger match. You know, a more violent match, maybe at Blood and Guts.
Speaking of Blood and Guts, that is the next big AEW event, and that's going to be at one of their Dynamite episodes, and it's basically War Games.
Yeah, it's War Games, but not called War Games.
Yeah,
kasi walang trademark. I think the Blood and Guts is the name.
Yeah, kasi walang trademark. I'm sure WWE beat them to the punch.
And no, Cody was talking about this on the AEW podcast, so a lot of the old WCW trademarks are with WWE.
Yeah, when they bought rights.
Only a few stuff were not bought. So I think they had Bash at the Beach and all that. Yeah,
it's really interesting to me how they're really drawing a lot from WCW, which is like there were a lot of good things that they did, but there were also a lot of bad things.
No. It's because, and again, Cody explains this. A lot of WCW and some of NWA stuff is Dusty's, Cody is just, you know, trying to get as much of Dusty's legacy as he could, as he is legally allowed.
Okay. In that case, then I'm totally fine with it.
What I don't understand is how come Dustin gets to keep Rhodes, but Cody doesn't.
Feeling ko kasi yung Dustin Rhodes hindi niya talaga ginamit sa WWE.
Although,
so hindi nila trademark. Whereas Cody Rhodes was used on merch, diba? On action figures and all that stuff.
I guess.
Yeah. Before we get to our picks of the week, let's talk about the women's championship match.
Okay.
Sa AEW. So I think it's still consensus na there are still certain parts of AEW that are booked really shit, like the women's division or certain heels like the Lucha Brothers. But I want to focus on the women's division in particular because I think Nyla Rose is talented. I don't think she's the best, but I think she's talented.
I think she is just green. I think she needed veteran leadership in that match.
Yeah, because I also think Chris Statlander is pretty fun to watch.
Yeah, she
just
is.
That wala silang chemistry. I didn't really enjoy that match. I wasn't invested in it.
Yeah. They definitely tried, but both of them really needed someone to lead them, and the problem is AEW didn't also have that kind of veteran leadership, and other than Riho, right? Mm-hmm. Riho is the most veteran there. Then you have Emi Sakura, who isn't working for them regularly. So sayang talaga. It could have been someone who is definitely more experienced, someone who could help Nyla unleash the inner beast that she could be.
Has anyone brought up how Chris Statlander only looks like an alien but doesn't really act like one? Parang medyo weird yung pagka-alien gimmick.
No, the alien thing is you need to watch Dark. She acts like she is new to Earth. And this is more fleshed out kasi in the other shows. I don't know if they did as much of this fleshing out in episodes of Dynamite leading up to Revolution.
Didn't.
So yeah, she would, you know, boop noses and pretend like she doesn't know how to act like a human.
Sobrang weird lang kasi, again, you can't expect everyone to watch Dark. Mm. And I'm that petty penguin meme na, no, I'm not going to do it. I really am not. I do not want to watch Dark. I have no time for Dark. So I'm not going to watch Dark.
Yeah, it was on them naman to explain why, you know, why Chris Statlander is an alien.
And why I should care about her being an alien, mm. diba?
Although it's funny, I like it.
It's kind of like how na-retcon nila si Jungle Boy. Because the original character of the Jurassic Express is that, or the original story nila is Luchasaurus is the learned one and Jungle Boy is literally a Jungle Boy.
Yeah, the Mowgli of the entire thing.
Yeah, but now he's Jack Perry. Like, now they're drawing on him being Luke Perry's kid. Now they're drawing on him actually.
This is JR's fault, though.
Because he keeps mentioning Jungle Boy Jack Perry.
Yeah, because he keeps calling him, Jungle Jack.
Yeah. I don't know. Sobrang weird lang kasi I expected them to keep fleshing out yung dynamic ni Luchasaurus being the smart one na parang I'm cultured, I'm modern, and then Jungle Boy being yung batang jungle. Or, you know, whatever the fuck. Sobrang pagkukulang lang on their end, but other than those minor nitpicks, I think AEW is beginning to hit its stride. And I'm actually happy to be along for the ride. And I'm at a point where I'm looking forward to Dynamite again.
I think there just needs to be an entire team behind the scenes of AEW Creative. Because as far as I know, I think Tony Khan is the one doing all the work.
So hands-on siya.
Yeah, so he's super hands-on, surprisingly. He seems to be in charge of all creative. And if not, if he isn't, I am not sure who is. Mm-hmm. I don't know if it's the agents they hired for the show. But parang there doesn't seem to be a unified force driving AEW Creative. So I think they need that just to tackle all aspects of the show. Siyempre, when you're just one person, it's pretty hard to, you know, adequately give attention to all facets of the show, all sides of the roster. So you definitely need help there, especially if you still have holes in your game like the women's division.
Yeah, unfortunately, not everyone can have a slow burn booking like Darby Allin.
Right,
who's basically
right.
Their Aleister Black at this point.
Yeah, so definitely just get some help.
Yeah. Speaking of getting help, I think Cody should get some help when it comes to his tattoo choices next time. I mean, I for one love ink. I love colored ink. I do not love where that neck tattoo is.
Would you get a neck tattoo?
No, I would not get a neck tattoo.
Pero kung back of the neck, okay lang. Ang weird yung sa side of the neck placement eh.
Yeah.
It's so... It's a tattoo of Georgia, I think?
No, it's yung Nightmare logo.
Oh, it's a Nightmare logo. I thought it was like the outline of the Georgia state.
No. It's the Nightmare logo. So it's basically his brand, his company, which he slapped on his own neck.
Because Brandy definitely did not approve of this tattoo because I heard she hated it.
It's just a bad decision, dude.
Yeah.
It is as bad as Post Malone's facial tattoos, which apparently he does because sobrang insecure siya sa itsura niya.
You know what? Facial tattoos are much better than the side of the neck tattoo because the side of the neck is so awkward. I would understand facial tattoos if they are done right, if they are not as...
Give me one good facial tattoo because I don't think there is any.
I don't know. I kind of dig Mike Tyson's facial tattoo.
Talaga?
Yeah, I mean, it's not intrusive. It works around the shape of his face. It feels like a warrior tribal tattoo of some sort.
But man, everybody else with a facial tattoo, from Tekashi 6ix9ine to Post Malone to all these XXX when he was still alive, geez.
I mean, you know, Umaga had facial ink. It's not a tattoo, but it worked.
Feeling ko pag face paint siya, okay lang kasi temporary eh.
Kasi you know it's temporary.
Yeah. Even si Matt Bloom,
when
he was
Tensai. It's the same idea though. You're inking your face.
Yeah, but you do it for your character, for your performance. Na parang pwede mo pa siyang tanggalin pag off duty ka.
So it's the permanence that's bothering you.
Yes.
All right.
Because it looks bad, like that neck tattoo. I wouldn't want it on me when I'm 55.
I guess.
I mean, I've got a tattoo of a family computer controller on my arm, and this is something I wouldn't mind on me when I'm 65 or 69.
Right. Okay. Yeah, it's just a weird decision.
Yeah. Oh, and shout out to Stephen Amell, who made an appearance at Revolution as part of the Nightmare family. Mm-hmm. Really love that.
Do you think he's going to wrestle soon?
No, I don't think so. He is working on a pilot though. Yung wrestling series that, Heels.
Oh, yeah. I remember
which
that.
Which will air on Stars, I think, itong upcoming fall season.
Should be good. Stars is the original network of American Gods, and that was pretty good in its first season, so I'm
Spartacus
looking forward to that.
Ba?
Yeah.
Spartacus also aired on Stars, yeah. So the premise of Heels is Stephen Amell is this promoter from the 80s, I think, and so he is a heel.
Why are we doing 80s things?
I don't know. Parang, either 80s or 90s. I don't remember.
It's not 90s, because we already have Glow, right?
Yeah. But Glow's about to end, and if Heels gets picked up for multiple seasons, then it can take Glow's place. So there, that's it for the talk about Revolution. We're going to segue now to our picks of the week. So it's basically one match or one promo, one segment, one something about wrestling that you really should catch. I'm going to start with mine.
Yeah.
And I'm going to pick the Orton promo.
Yeah, sure, definitely.
Love the promo work, love the mic work. I mean, especially ako na, I really am a student of this game. So, so many things to learn from in just watching that.
I don't know. I mean, kind of boggles, you know. Do you think he memorized all that, or do you think how did he come up with all that and, you know, not flub any of it?
Because he normally doesn't talk like that, diba?
Oh, diba.
Yeah, feeling ko a lot of that also was from the heart.
He's usually a slow talker.
Yeah, you know? Yeah, very methodical.
Exactly. So if it was memorized, great on him for, you know, pulling off all of that like a theater actor.
Yeah.
If it was not memorized, even better.
And Beth played off of it super well.
Yeah. And, you know, she's usually annoying on commentary.
I wouldn't go that far.
It is. She is. She does her weird announcer voice and it doesn't work.
Eh.
Diba? All
right, I have nothing else to say.
My pick of the week is not much choices out there. So let's go with the AEW Tag Team Championship match.
Yeah, it's an early match of the year contender.
Mm-mm. Hangman Page is such a made man.
Mm-hmm.
Diba? So good on them. Do you think there is still space for a heel turn? Because I think the rumors say it's not leading to a heel turn, but I think it has to.
Feeling ko decidido sila na they want to make it Shades of Grey. But I think as with wrestling, you can't always force Shades of Grey.
Mm.
Your Shades of Grey don't work for everyone.
It so happens though that the Shades of Grey worked here.
Yes, but I don't think it will work long term if they keep forcing the Shades of Grey. I think at some point something has to give. Someone has a turn.
So you're saying, yeah, someone has a turn. Yeah, all right.
Someone has a turn. Cool. I don't mind if they swerve us and the Young Bucks turn.
No.
Because they were kind of teasing it at the end of the match.
They swerve, Vinny. Because they were the de facto heels of this match.
Yes, but the expectation was that Hangman would turn on Kenny.
Mm-mm.
Parang I think the only sure thing is that Kenny would be the face here. Mm. Or they could swerve us and have Kenny turn heel.
No. Kenny is too good in the babyface role, I think. There is nothing to gain from Kenny being a heel.
Kasi sobrang galing niya.
Yeah. He's such a sympathetic character.
Yeah, that's absolutely true. Yeah, I think the swerve here is the Young Bucks turn heel because they're talking about friendship and like family and then how the tag team titles mean so much to them and then for them to go back on all of that and just be dicks.
Puede.
Yeah, that's a swerve for me.
I do think they're overdue. Not that I'm overdue, but it's a good time for them to turn. They were so booed, definitively because of how they treated Hangman.
And if... You know, when they want to be dicks, they are dicks.
Yeah, exactly.
Like in Cody Dustin match, remember that?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Before we get out of here, we got to tell you that if you have the network, if you haven't unsubscribed
oh,
yet,
yeah, yeah.
You have to check out the Ruthless Aggression series.
Yes.
Especially for people like Ro and myself who really grew up in that era.
Our A babies.
Yes. generation namin yan, time namin yan. When we say back in the day, we're talking about RA.
Yeah, because we're too young for the Attitude Era. I mean, the Attitude Era was great. We were not old enough, though, to fully appreciate the Attitude Era. We were just ripe enough for the good stuff of the Ruthless Aggression Era.
Yeah, I guess we were at that age where we can comprehend certain stories, we can comprehend certain layers. Maybe not everything, because we were 14 we started watching wrestling. But yeah, these were the stories that really stuck to us, from Chris Benoit winning the title, Eddie Guerrero winning the title, Evolution, Brock Lesnar leaving the company, John Cena, the rise of Cena. I think my favorite episode, well, I've only seen yung Cena and Evolution episodes, but I can't even choose. They're equally good, with my only nitpick being that medyo unnecessary in current era of superstars.
Yeah, I mean, I don't want to hear about what they thought about what happened back then. I mean, I know that they are pretty much, you know, us. They are personifying us, the fans who grew up in that era.
But I don't need their point of view.
Yeah, I really don't need it, because I just want to hear from the people involved.
Yeah, if they could get more of the people who are involved, who are no longer with the company but not necessarily with AEW, mm-hmm. even better. Because mm-hmm. they got Bubba Ray to come back.
Yeah.
Right? Bubba Ray is not really with WWE anymore.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I loved yung pag-pull back ng curtain with the Evolution episode in particular. Just because, you know, I see a lot of MSG in Evolution.
Right.
So you have that. And then the John Cena character, like, there were stories there that I've never heard before.
Mm. So although I will say... this documentary made me realize that the Ruthless Aggression Era wasn't all great. For sure, it wasn't perfect in any way.
Yep.
We just choose to remember all the good stuff that was, all the cool stuff that was happening, and we for sure look at it more fondly than it really was. And it made me realize then that the kids who grew up in this modern era, after that, after Ruthless Aggression, in the reality era, whatever have you, we'll look back on this modern era the same way we do at the Ruthless Aggression, and older people will probably wonder why you like that era so much when it wasn't that great.
Yeah, it really says a lot about how you just romanticize everything that was there when you were growing up.
Yeah, so really, older fans will never like or will never love the modern stuff as much as they did the stuff that they watched growing up.
One last takeaway from that documentary so far. I didn't realize that they still considered 06, 07 to be part of Ruthless Aggression.
Yeah, I realized then that it was, because when you think about it, you don't know what to call it either.
Oh, medyo in between siya.
So, yeah, I guess it makes sense that it is still RA. Because we choose to look at the golden years as only RA, but you still had those transition years, you know, when Cena was starting to become even more PG, when the company was shifting toward that rating.
I didn't even realize na 05 pa lang, he was already beginning to hear people, hear kids in the crowd.
Oh, no.
Sensing audience change.
I remember this fondly. 05, 06 were the years that people were catching on that Cena was being pushed too much, and that he didn't totally lose his edge back then, but people were getting sick of him too.
Yeah, so yun, I thought that it happened like 07, 08. I didn't realize it was much earlier. So that was something that it was a good refresher. Great insight then from Cena, because apparently he was very much involved in that shift in his character. Like, hindi na siya nag-jersey, hindi na siya nag-rap.
Yeah.
He wasn't as edgy with his promos. So yun, for people who really were big fans during that era, that Ruthless Aggression documentary series is something you might want to pick up on the network.
Mm-hmm. 100% recommended.
Mm-hmm. All right, that's going to do it for this week's episode of the Wrestling Podcast, or at least the first episode of the week. We have another one coming up later this week, and we've got a special guest who will be joining us. And, well, all we can say for now is that you can expect another crossover from within the Podcast Network Asia family.
Podcast Network Asia universe.
Yes. So, shout out, by the way, to all of our mga kapodcast here in the Podcast Network Asia family. Yes, apparently, Ed Saliao made it happen.
Yeah.
Apparently, that is the podcast. That is the hashtag.
I hope that, you know, the kapodcasts make Ka Podcast a thing.
Yeah, yeah. So shout out to all those podcasts, especially the new ones like Underpaid with our good friend Stanley Chi and the rest of the crew behind Underpaid. Mm-hmm. Like we said at the top of the show, Cool Pals, they've got a live show happening right now at the Fourth Strip. And by the time you're hearing this, you can probably go catch that on demand. Mm-hmm.
Well, Sessions, our new top charting podcast, also got Boiling Waters and all that. What else?
Hey, congratulations to the Kudazzers.
Yeah.
Because they just had their first live show a few days ago.
Hey, it's becoming a trend.
Yes, so it all started because of us. Diba tayo unang live show?
I suppose. Although I think the Cool Pals did a live recording before.
Yes. So, you know, we're all just breaking boundaries here in the Podcast Network Asia family. We got to thank you for keeping on supporting us. And you can keep doing that by hitting that subscribe button, hitting that download button, hitting that like or that love button, and sharing it with all of your friends on social media, letting them know that this podcast network exists and that the Wrestling Podcast is also on your radar. And if you have any feedback you want to send our way, kung meron man kaming nakalimutan na pag-usapan or whatever, or if you just need instructions for your WW Pay Maya code, all you have to do is hit us up at Wrestling2XPod on Twitter. For me, it's at @_StanC. For Ro, it is at @RoIsWar. At Caveman Camus and at Chino Supersized for both Camus and Chino, who are both not here. And we will catch you again later this week with our second episode of the Wrestling Podcast. So on behalf of my co-hosts, my name is StanC and we are out of here.
Peace.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.